Hello and welcome. I'm Rick Boggs. I have worked as the Director of Described Media for VITAC, a major provider of closed captioning and audio description services for network television. I'm the former president of WeCTV, a provider of audio description for network television. And I'm currently president of The Accessible Planet, a nonprofit organization in Los Angeles that has a major program dedicated to providing job skills training and employment, as well as mentoring services for professionals in the field of audio-video production. I'd like to take about 10 minutes to describe to you the program at The Accessible Planet that we refer to as the Accessible Media Production Training Employment Mentoring Program. We call it AMPTEMP for short, A-M-P-T-E-M-P. The program aims to provide job skills training for media production. It aims to provide direct employment of people with disabilities in media production. And it aims to provide ongoing professional mentoring services for people with disabilities who have jobs in media production. After that, if time permits, we'll discuss some of the specifics about accommodations in various professional positions in the production environment, and potentially show some examples of some of the audio description work that I have produced or supervised or been involved in. The news and entertainment media is probably the most powerful influence on societal attitudes, and societal attitudes have been identified as the greatest barrier to employment for people with disabilities. The disproportionately low visibility of people with disabilities in the media and the lack of accessible media products and services suggests a pattern of exclusion in the entertainment industry. I had the privilege of presenting the evidence of this at a collective bargaining negotiation meeting between the Alliance for Motion Picture and Television Producers and the Talent Guilds, Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, a few years ago. I've written articles on the subject of the entertainment industry and its relationship with people with disabilities, and those are available at the California Council of the Blind website, which is www.ccbnet.org. That's ccbnet.org. I've written a series of them and have there are more forthcoming. One of the important factors that make the AMPTEMP program at the Accessible Planet important is the impact that it might have on accessible education, or maybe access to education. The use of audio-video media in education, in K-12 as well as university-level education, continues to increase each year. So they're using more and more video materials in the classroom. But the percentage of accessible videos available to teachers remains at less than 10%. The AMPTEMP, Accessible Media Production Training Employment Mentoring Program, it's an innovative model for a long-term approach to increase employment of people with disabilities in audio-video production. That's really its overall goal. We also feel that it'll accelerate advocacy for accessible media products and services. And I'll go on to explain how that will work. One theory behind the program is that it advances a leading-edge marketing philosophy and job placement for professionals with disabilities that relies on the strength of consumers becoming professional experts. The program includes detailed solutions for accommodations and job placement, and it was designed by experienced professionals in media production who also are experts in accessible media. So we really have put together a good team to oversee this project. By the way, it was successfully tested as a pilot program a few years back under a grant of Workplace Hollywood, and the Media Access Office implemented it here in Los Angeles very successfully. The program received accommodations from the governor of California. In fact, we received the governor's trophy at the 2003 National Business Leadership Conference for our contribution to inclusive employment practices in the media. At this time, I'd like to take a few minutes to review the steps involved in audio description production so that we can discuss the opportunities for employment for people with disabilities at each step. The first step is sales and traffic, that is, securing the contract to do the job and then acquiring the media to be described in whatever format that media may be. The second step, tech operations, is formatting the media and planning the workflow according to the customer specifications. The third step is describing the media, where the audio describer views the program and writes the script. The fourth step is quality control. That's reviewing the description for accuracy and effectiveness, and making whatever revisions need to be made. The fifth step is audio recording. That's where we record the voiceover artist performing the description script as it's been approved. The sixth step is editing the audio to clean up the track, removing breaths and doing various other technical things that make the voiceover track sound clean and broadcast quality, plus mixing the audio. That's blending the voiceover track with the original program audio. This involves adjusting volume levels, relative volume levels between the program and the voiceover. And there are many technical considerations when you go to do this. And those technical considerations change according to what the deliverable format is, if it's a DVD or tape for broadcast or a file for a website. The seventh step is further tech operations. This is syncing audio to the video and generating the deliverable format. So applying the finished audio described soundtrack to the picture and putting into whatever format the customer requested. And eighth is trafficking and accounting, which means delivering the product to the client and collecting payment. There are opportunities for people with disabilities at every one of these steps. Now I think we can talk about the various professional positions that people can pursue, regardless of their disability, in each step of this process. So I'll review several professional positions here. The first one would be an audio engineer. An audio engineer records voiceover tracks, operating a professional digital audio recording system, edits the sound, mixes the sound, and delivers that sound to another technician for video layback, as we call it, applying it to the video. We have a history of successfully employing blind engineers, audio engineers, in a variety of field, music production, audio drama production, as well as audio description. And there is actually a professional network, if you will, of blind audio engineers that support one another in finding workarounds and the latest tech news and all sorts of things. It's the International Association of Blind Audio Engineers. Another professional position that people with disabilities could pursue and will acquire training for in the AMTAM program is an audio producer. This is someone that envisions a project and basically makes the project come into existence from beginning to end. It's hard to describe all of the various tasks that a producer might have to be responsible for, but a producer can create opportunities for recording radio ads or audio dramas, as well as audio description, music CDs, and so forth. Another position might be an audio production manager or audio production coordinator. This person would actually supervise the production team, would enforce quality specifications, and enforce schedules and deadlines. So the audio production coordinator really babysits the project from beginning to end and has to understand all of the aspects of the project. Another position would be audio description writer. And we have employed people with disabilities in this position, including one woman who was visually impaired. She was partially sighted, but could see well enough to be able to describe. And in our quality control process, we always have what I call a second pair of eyes, another person skilled enough to be a describer who will review the script and watch the program to make sure that what's being described is really what's on the screen, because anybody could make a mistake and mistake one item for another. So it did work out that our visually impaired audio describer was able to write scripts that were successful in production and broadcast on network television. Another position that we call description quality specialist is usually occupied by a blind person, a consumer of audio description products. This is someone who is more than simply a consumer. It's a consumer who's been trained in the process and who is extremely familiar with the standards for audio description. And this person would listen to the script as the product plays and decide what revisions need to be made, what's clear, what's effective, and suggest revisions, and works together with the writer to accomplish a high-quality product. Another position, of course, is a video engineer. or a tech operations engineer. This is somebody who is effective at syncing the audio to the picture, understands how audio-video equipment can be synchronized, and if necessary, can change video formats, transfer video from tape to digital files or vice versa, and can put the video product out in whatever format the client requires. Obviously, there is an opportunity for voiceover artists in this field, and we've employed more than a dozen voiceover artists who are blind. We've also employed voiceover artists who have other kinds of physical disabilities. There are many kinds of accommodations and ways that people work around some of the obvious questions about the script. Some people use an ear prompter. Some people use Braille on paper, you know, embossed Braille. Some people use refreshable Braille devices. We have successfully utilized just about every type of technical accommodation or adaptation that you could imagine for our voiceover artists. By the way, I should mention one more thing about the audio engineer position. I neglected to mention that our blind audio engineers are all trained in using the world's industry standard digital audio recording software and hardware from DigiDesign. It's called Pro Tools. We do use Windows-based audio editing and audio conversion programs as well for certain functions in accessible media production. There are also job opportunities available for closed captioners. Blind individuals can do transcription of dialogue as well as descriptions of sounds that are included in closed captioning. Those files are then transferred to someone who actually would do the visual placement of the words on the screen. And finally, of course, there's the sales and marketing executives and opportunities for promoting the services and acquiring the contracts to do audio description. So there are a lot of positions at every step of the production and audio description that offer employment opportunities for people with disabilities. We believe that through the AmpTemp program, providing job skills training, actual work experience, and professional mentoring, that people who come through the program will have the opportunity to develop superior resumes to their peers with comparable education levels. Our sort of unique job placement philosophy includes the idea that professionals with disabilities have an added value as consumers of the services that are being provided. And they've all been involved in production of high-quality projects, including broadcast products and DVD products and webcast products and so forth. All of the graduates of the program and those employed by the program have a thorough knowledge of accessible media requirements, options, and the resources required for producing accessible media. As professionals with disabilities in production migrate from audio description to other areas of media production, they take with them this knowledge of accessible media. So, in effect, they're promoting or distributing the knowledge and awareness about the need for accessible media and what's required in order to achieve it. Even though the AmpTemp program is a job skills training and employment program, we believe that it has an element of advocacy involved in it as well, because as people with disabilities become involved in working directly in production and are able to obtain more jobs in the field, then, of course, the awareness about the need for accessible media for consumers and the possibilities for employment in the field spread. As an example, as we produce, let's say, educational videos for schools, students with disabilities who become more familiar with audio description and having that available to them, they may develop an expectation of having that service and may be more inclined to request audio description as an accommodation at their school or university. This, of course, raises the awareness of the need and can be an effective advocacy impact, if you will, of the job skills training program at the Accessible Planet. I think I mentioned that 20% of Americans ages 5 to 64 have disabilities, yet they're represented by less than 2% of characters in film and television. This is established by a study conducted by the IACF, as well as SAG and AFTRA. We think that involving professionals with disabilities in production can actually help to improve those statistics. In conclusion here, in describing this program, I would just say that from the earliest videos that American children experience in schools to the huge quantity of news and entertainment products that are consumed by American adults, people with disabilities continue to be omitted from the media as performers, as producers, and as consumers. I believe that increasing the presence of people with disabilities in all aspects of the media may have the greatest potential to positively impact social change toward greater acceptance and equality for people with disabilities in society. That concludes the presentation of the AmpTemp program at the Accessible Planet. If there is time remaining, I'll take this opportunity to share with you some samples of the audio description work we've been involved in. This first sample will be introduced as a demonstration of the importance of audio description by Robert David Hall, an actor who happens to have a disability and who is the chairman of the National Tri-Union Committee on Employment of Performers with Disabilities. Tri-Union Committee consists of members from the Screen Actors Guild, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and Actors Equity. And Robert David Hall, who plays the coroner, Dr. Robbins, on CSI, Crime Scene Investigator, will be introducing a scene from Daredevil.
Television programs and feature films are produced by dozens of people whose specialized skills create a magical combination of pictures and sound. If one of these elements were missing, if there were no pictures, what would you know about the action on the screen?
Matt's cane retracts, reflected in his sunglasses. A hand zips up a blood-red leather suit with interlocked D's on the left breast. A red-gloved hand presses a button on a baton. The cap turns, showing an engraved devil's head. Two serrated tongs snap out of the baton. A hand closes them. Another baton opens into a pair of nunchucks. He rolls them over his head before reconnecting them. Another baton opens into a short staff and swings and twirls it. He punches with batons and snaps them into a red leather sheath at his side. Moonlit New York is reflected in Matt's mask lenses. He dives off the roof of a building head first, arms tucked by his sides. He sees blue light bounce off an approaching shape. Matt rolls and lands on the scaffold. It breaks and leaps to another.
Adding video description to this scene from the movie Daredevil would enable you to know what pictures were being shown on the screen, even if you could not see them. Video description presents innovative, cost-effective ways to reach millions of consumers who have billions of discretionary dollars. Discover the newest way to make the power of national broadcast television work for you.
Now we have some samples of voiceover artists that were employed by WeCTV for broadcast audio description. We pursued a philosophy that diversity in voice casting is a strength.
Animated programs.
The bird flies right at Dot. Whee! She lets go of her stalk and plummets.
Ah, my baby!
Francis looks up.
I got you!
Francis catches Dot and they fall down a crack in the dry bed. A rock lands on Francis's foot. Another hits his head, knocking him out.
I can't see!
Somebody do something!
Are they alright? Can anyone see them?
The bird hops around the crack. The rest of the troop huddle behind a rock.
The description voice must be distinct from all characters in the program, but must also be appropriate for the material.
Through a telescope, Ada sees the bird dance around the crack.
Please, man, wake up!
The bird pecks repeatedly, but misses.
In addition, WeCTV introduced the concept of adding audio effects to the description track to imitate visual effects on the screen.
High jumping, hands palms up over Kelso running in place in a multi-patterned floor.
I told Jack you don't want to hang out with Kelso. I walk in, they're playing Couch Twister.
In the hotel kitchen.
Mirror images of Fez turning and kneeling under a scrolling teal ceiling with white ovals.
In the basement, Fez sleeps on the couch.
Aw, look at him.
Eric lying down, hands behind head, spinning over a tie-dye pattern.
According to a study by the American Foundation for the Blind, visually impaired consumers and their families would like to see more television programs with video description. Perfect match.
Jackie looks to hide. He meets her gaze.
Her lips part, his lips press, their eyebrows raise, she inhales, his pecs ripple, and they kiss.
Sometimes, in the history of audio description, companies have employed primarily one or two voices to do all description voice work. At WeCTV, we believe that a wide range of voices is preferable, using high-ranged females, high-ranged males, low-range females, low-ranged males, different age sounds, is more conducive to suiting the voice to the material. So here are some examples of some of the voices that we employed at WeCTV. All of these voiceover artists are professionals who have disabilities. Chris Snyder.
From a flash among the stars in the black background of space, words appear. Walt Disney Pictures presents. The words tilt and move away. From a bright blast, words appear. A Pixar Animation Studios film. Circle becomes the O in Toy Story 2. The words fly away.
Nicole Parsons.
The filament glows in a light bulb. An auburn-haired woman wearing a long blue and magenta scoop-neck sleeveless dress descends the stairs and approaches a wine rack. She selects a bottle, knits her brow, and looks over her shoulder. She turns, clutches the bottle to her chest, and rubs her arm, then hurries up the stairs.
Jack Patterson.
Homer wakes. Dressed in blue denim, he laces his boots. He takes the miner's helmet from the plastic bag and places it on his head. He stares into the mirror. On the dresser sits the picture of Wernher von Braun. Soot-covered miners leave the elevator. As Homer and a fresh crew enter. Through the open grid of the elevator, Homer sees Sputnik cross the night sky. Homer continues to stare as the elevator descends.
Lucy Hagen.
Young lady! This is your last night in the nursery, and that's my last word on the matter.
He stumbles over Nana. He pushes her into the blocks. She scampers out of his way and pushes a small wagon. His foot lands on it, and he careens around the room. Nana tumbles into the corner. He grabs a purple dresser scarf as he falls. A book, comb, brush, ball, and jack-in-the-box land on his head.
Whoa! Thank you all very much for your attention. Thank you also for your interest in audio description and your interest in the activities of the Accessible Planet. You can find more information at www.rickboggs.com or www.theaccessibleplanet.org.